This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You've just tuned in to the media ministry of New Zion Missionary Baptist Church of Winfield, Louisiana, pastored by Reverend Tramiel Ham. The Lord says in His Word that in 2 Timothy, preach the Word, be instant, in season and out of season. Listen now as our pastor preaches and teaches an in-season Word.
Six, he got one leg in, but he ain't in there until he's all the way under the ring. Seven, eight, and by the time he gets to nine, he rolls on in the ring. 10, and he makes it in time. Because he didn't get counted out. That's God's word to you this morning. That somebody's got to realize in their spirit that the devil has been beating you down. He has been delivering some blows. You are going through. But as long as you don't get to the count of three, as long as you get to the count of 10, you still got a chance. It's trying to count you out. The devil think he got you beat. But I dare somebody on the first Sunday of November to say, I'm not giving up yet. You're not just going to beat me. You're not just going to destroy me. You're not going to take me away from my place. Don't count me out. That's what David wants. David wants us to see this today. Because David was dealing with a very difficult situation. The author of this psalm, this psalm number 3, this psalm is a morning psalm. Psalm number 4 is an evening psalm. They're all connected to the same situation. We all know David, don't we? He's anointed. He's a king. He's God's choice. And he is dealing now with a difficult situation. Have you been there? Are y'all too churchy this morning to admit that sometimes you have to go through? Sometimes you have to struggle? Sometimes life hurts? Sometimes people betray you? Sometimes people you never thought would do you a certain way start doing you the very way you didn't expect them to do? Or have you been there before? If you've been there before, you're in good company this morning. Because David writes this psalm in the midst of a difficult circumstance. Y'all missed your shout right there. He didn't wait till after the stuff was over with. He went on and prayed this prayer right here in Psalm number 3. Now, I thank God this morning that we've got some help from the Word of God to help us understand why you can't be counted out. You can't keep giving up. You can't just keep leaving the fold just because you're in difficult situations. The devil has designed this stuff. He has designed this world and this society and this system to make you afraid, to make you stay in your shell, to make you detached from people, to make you go off into an island by yourself and never be what God called you to be. Because the devil sees your purpose before you see your purpose. Can I bless you real quick? The devil go off and come for anointed people first. Y'all missed it right there. If you want anointing, you got to be prepared for affliction. You want promotion, you got to be prepared for some pain. You just can't be anointed and then be error-free. You just can't be anointed and be spot-free. Anointed people have to go through a crushing. They got to go through a pressing to be what God has called for them to be. Now, David is anointed. He is the king. He has won battles. He has now supplanted Saul. But now, David's got to deal with something. Watch this. He's dealing with something that he called. Y'all ain't gonna like me for a few minutes, but y'all go tune in for a minute. But just stay with me. I'm gonna come back to you. David is dealing with something that was self-induced. David is dealing right now. David pens this psalm while on the run from his son Absalom. His very own son is out to kill him. Y'all don't like that. His very own son is out to kill him. His very own son is out to get him. His son has now got other folk who used to be faithful to him and are now faithful to Absalom, all trying to kill David, and David done brought all them folk in. I saved y'all. I brought y'all in. Now y'all done turned on me. David is on the run. And David now, I appreciate the fact that David runs from Absalom, watch this, but he don't run from God. That's what I wish somebody would get on this morning. That just, I may be on the run from some stuff, but I ain't finna run from God. While on the run from Absalom, David decides to pray. Now David is dealing with something that he put in motion. You're asking, what did he do? I'll tell you what he did. It was because of his sin with Bathsheba. Now, I don't have time to go through all that. I wish I could, but I don't have time to deal with that story. But y'all know enough of the story of Bathsheba to know what happened. He took that woman and had that woman's husband killed, Uriah, and put him on the front line. And David got with her, and that's what Solomon comes about, because that's who is his mama, Bathsheba. And so David has committed something called a sin. Wait a minute, I thought I was anointed. I thought I'm the king. How do I sin and I'm anointed? The same way you and I do. Anointed and still sin. Now, if you're going to be a deep Christian this morning, if you're going to be one of them nice, nasty folk, I ain't talking to you. I'm talking to people today who just like Paul. Those things that I don't want to do, I keep on doing. And the stuff I don't want to do, I keep doing. Stuff I want to do, I never can do. Oh, wretched man, not that I was, but who I am. Because it's a struggle every day of my life between my spirit and my flesh. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. David is anointed, but his flesh gets in the way, and he sins. Now, watch this. David gets it right with God in Psalm 51. Create in me, O God, a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. He got stuff right with God. He got right in covenant with God, but he still got consequences. Ooh, Lord. He's got to deal with now the consequences of his actions. Just because you tell God you're sorry and repent, God does forgive you, but you and I still got to deal with some consequences. So before you start blaming the devil for some stuff, you need to ask yourself a question. Did I plant that? Y'all ain't with me right now. Some of us, y'all, are dealing with some issues, not because the devil sent it to me, it's because I planted that. And it don't mean God don't love you, it's just your reaping season. It don't mean God ain't got a plan for you, it's just your reaping season. Sometimes you just got to swallow that castor oil. It's going to be good for you, even though it ain't good to you. I'll preach by myself, that's all right. Because we don't want to deal with the sin, and just because you a king, just because you got a position, don't mean you ain't got to do right. Lord, have mercy. And so Nathan the prophet comes and tells David, you the man. You the man. Your sin. And it caused David to go into a grief. And then Nathan also prophesied to him. He said, the sword is going to come to your house. And so David now is dealing with something that he started, and he becomes a victim of something he put in motion. Watch this. Can I bless my house? I just want to bless my church. If you're a visitor, thank you. Don't leave. Just for my house that God has given me stewardship over. It might not get you. And some of us think we all right because it ain't happened to you. But you done messed around and had some children. Because Nathan did not tell David it's coming to you. The sword is coming to your house. Keep on being messy. Keep on being low-down. Keep on killing people's character. You got children too. And some stuff ain't hitting you, it's hitting them children. Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. Look what happens. David's son Amnon rapes his sister Tamar. You got sexual abuse, rape, and incest in an anointed house. Absalom, the other son, takes it upon himself because he's so angry at Amnon for raping his sister, he now decides and plots how to kill his brother Amnon. And kills his brother Amnon. Absalom now has to flee. And he leaves for a season of 2 or 3 years away. And David is upset with him because he left. He killed his brother and then talked to him. And now Absalom could come back, but he can't because David don't want to see him. How you can't stand stuff that you used to do? You might not kill Amnon, but you kill Uriah. It's amazing how we get amnesia about our stuff. But we want God to give justice when somebody do something up. Watch this. Can I bless you further? Because I want to bless the believer today. David, because he talked privately with Nathan, because he talks privately with God, he thought that God would deal privately with him with the consequences. I'm going to try one more time. Because he dealt privately with Nathan, because he dealt privately with God and got it right, he assumed that the consequences would be handled privately. I'm going to try this side. Y'all don't shut down. I'm going to try over here. David assumes that because he dealt privately with Nathan and because he dealt privately with God and got it right, that whatever God give him, it'll be handled privately. Y'all ready for me? Okay, I'll come back to y'all then. David assumes that because he talked to God privately and because he talked to Nathan privately, that anything that he got to deal with and eat and take going to be private. That's the wrong assumption he made. Because now we're going to find out that his private mess can be made public. And that's where we're at right now. Many of us are just in a place we don't want it fixed. We just don't want it out. Y'all got stupid, man. I ain't preached in 2 weeks. I'm happy right now. Listen to me. Watch this. He thought that we could handle it in-house. But now everybody knows that the king house is in a mess. It's the king house and his children killing each other. Raping each other. What kind of king got them kind of children acting like that? And while gone, Absalom, while he's in exile, Absalom starts recruiting. Absalom, because now he's indignant because his daddy don't want to talk to him. Oh, so if you don't love me, I don't love you. If I had time. He starts recruiting folk to remove his father. See, if I was your king, I would do this. If I was your king, I'd be done that. If I was your king, I wouldn't handle you like that. Now, you got an option. I'm here if you need me. And we can all go together back to David there. We can go and mess with him and we can go and get him because I got your back. And Absalom starts getting people who are haters and jealous and envious of David all this time. And he's starting to get folks like that who because they're enemies of each other, but they'll be friends to get you out. I wish I had somebody knew what I'm talking about. It's some people who don't really like each other, but they'll come together and be friends to destroy you. Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. They can't stand each other, but they'll talk. They have one conversation to destroy you because one thing they both have in common, they can't stand you. And they're jealous of where God has placed you. They're envious of what God has done in you. And they want to take you out. And Absalom starts recruiting. It's the man's son. And he starts trying to find ways to destroy and kill his father. And David is fleeing from his son Absalom. He's lost. David has lost some real close allies, real close cohorts, people who've been with him in battles. He lost them to his own son. And now he's on the run. We reached us to our text where we are today that David is now on the run. Psalm number 3 and Psalm number 4, he's on the run from his own son. Can you imagine that you're a king and you're nowhere near the palace? That's why you got to know who you are, no matter where you are. Because sometimes your life ain't going to look anointed. Sometimes your life ain't going to look blessed. Sometimes my child going to go crazy. Sometimes my husband going to go crazy. It don't mean God ain't got his hand on me. Sometimes life happens. You got to know who you are, even when you don't know where you are. I wish somebody would hear what God's telling somebody today. I don't know where I am in 2020. 2020, I done lost some people. I done been sick. I done had stuff going on. But thank God, I know who I am, and I know whose I am. Otherwise, I'd be done lost my mind. And David knows who he is, even though he don't appreciate and understand where he is. And David said, don't count me out, though. He said, don't count me out, because there's three things I can do even though I'm in trouble. The first thing I can do, even though I'm in trouble, I can admit my predicament. Y'all missed your shout right there because church folk don't like that one. I can admit. I can confess. I can testify. And I can admit it's something wrong in my life. And God will heal a whole lot more of us if we will stop fronting and stop trying to look like we got it all together and come before the Lord naked before him and being honest and sincere and say, it's me, oh Lord, not my mother, not my father, but it's me standing in the need of prayer. I need your help. I need your touch. I need deliverance. I need to get right. My house ain't in order. My family ain't in order. I've been doing wrong. I have sinned against you, God. David admits it. David admits it. He said, I'm dealing with this. I'm dealing with this. But I know why I'm dealing with this. Y'all better listen to me, y'all. Y'all got to hear God here. Part of our deliverance is being us telling the truth to ourselves first. Now, some of us got messed up because we're starting to believe our own lies. The lie is not for you to believe, it's for other folk to believe. What kind of liars start believing their own lie? Some of us been lying so long, we're starting to believe. Well, maybe I did do that. Look what he says. He says, look. He said, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. They are letting me know they can't stand me. They let me know they want me out. They showing me they want to push me out the door. They keep looking at me like they got something on their mind. They keep coming for me and I ain't called for them. They keep listening. They keep saying stuff. They keep picking. Y'all know how folks pick, don't you? I thought I was in a real church. You know how folks will pick, say some stuff just to see if you're going to respond, just to see how you're going to react. They'll hum when you walk around. They get the nudging people when you come in the room. They get the whispering when you come around. Many are they that are increased against me. Lord, have mercy. Now, watch this. It's tough now because part of your deliverance is being around people who can't stand you. Lord, part of your deliverance, part of your growth, is being able to be present with people who want you absent. Because if you leave your place with God, they win. Because you're not proving nothing to them. You're showing God, I don't believe you can keep me. See, this quitting stuff and this depression stuff and this walking off stuff, all that's showing God is, I don't trust you to fight that battle for me. Look, David says many. It's so many folk, he can't name them. Can you imagine the paranoia that David might be in? Can you imagine the paranoia? Have you ever been there? When it's just enough folk to make you think everybody against you. You go here, here comes some mess. You go there, you go do some mess. Can I tell you something? I don't mind being a shepherd transparent enough so I'll say what y'all ain't gonna say. There are times I have to determine when I'm gonna go to the store. Because I don't want to run into certain people. Because I don't want to hear it. See, God gonna free me. Y'all don't want to tell the truth. One of the things I got mad at Walmart for is they stopped being 24 hours. I love grocery shopping at 2 o'clock in the morning. I had to deal with nobody. See, I'll tell the truth. Y'all ain't going to tell the truth. Because people are always in your buggy. And not even in the season you're in, people in your spiritual buggy. You finna eat all that? What you going to do with that? You don't need that. You ain't paying for it. That burns me up. I'm sorry, that burns me up though. But got my buggy. Only thing I need to hear from you is beep, beep, beep. That's all I want to hear from you. I want you to hear me with what I got in my buggy. Many are they that have increased against me. They're making it known. They want me gone. David admits it. In this psalm, in this psalm of praise, he admits it. This psalm is a suffering psalm. That David says, many are they that are against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Now they're looking at my life and they're laughing at me. They're mocking my situation. Because they see me, who's supposed to be a king, living like a peasant. They see me living like I'm anointed, but all they see is my affliction. Here I am, supposed to be praying for other people's children, and mine got arrested. I counsel that couple, and I got a divorce. I pray for your healing, and here I am, got to go to chemo. And they looking at me saying, you and God must not be that tight. Look what the psalm says. They are talking about my soul. They're dealing with the real me. They're talking about my walk with God. That my life is such a mess right now, ain't no help in God. It's church folk judging me saying ain't no help for me. Because they say ain't no help for him in God. And my life is such a mess that even the deacons gave up on me. The preacher don't want to pray for me. The sisters won't help me. The brothers won't build me. Ain't no help for them. Your life is a mess. And even the church folks are laughing at you. I used to be one of them. Now the table's unturned, they're laughing at me. I used to be on the other side laughing at other folk. Watch this, now it's David's turn. He admits his predicament. He confesses the trouble. He's honest about what's going on. Lord, I got a lot of enemies out to get me. That's the reality. Watch this, he's telling God. Not Facebook. Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. Some of us get mad in our feelings. We don't go to this book. We don't go to this. What we do, when I get offended, mad, P.O., whatever the case may be, I get on Facebook. I like how people come for you and say something stupid to you, and they want to beat you up. But if you're really about that life, why don't you meet me right now and be about that life? I really hate how bees, with all them stars, so people know what the word is. I really hate how bees really try to come for you, and you ain't called for them. Really? Emoji. Mature Christians who've been with God forever. Instead of getting in this and getting on their knees, get on Facebook and put their business out there. And then wonder why people don't take you serious. And you have people who don't know the Lord come and tell you how to handle it. Boo, I feel for you. Just pray and give it to God. Worldly people tell you the right thing to do. You should be telling them that. They got to tell you, and they worldly. They don't even know God. And they telling you to pray. But be shame. Every time you get, that's how we'll know what's wrong. We know it's a man problem, woman problem, worker, co-worker problem, because you put your business out there. But we come to prayer meeting, you don't open your mouth. Prayer meeting, you don't lift your hand. Worship, you come here like Walston stung you. But you get to Facebook and tell them all your story. I'm sad. Nobody loves me. Then somebody tell you, someone on your Facebook friends, I love you, boo-boo. Stay encouraged. I got you. You need to talk. Inbox me. What's wrong? Inbox me, I'll tell you. But when you come to prayer meeting, you ain't got nothing to say to nobody. You don't pray for nobody, and you don't let nobody pray for you. You shy at prayer meeting. But you put your business. Admit your predicament. That's one thing I can do. That's why you can't count me out. And secondly, second thing I can do, that I can affirm myself through prayer. I can affirm myself through prayer. Y'all missed it. I can affirm myself through prayer. Watch this, watch this. David is on the run. David got his son coming after him. And then he realizes and acknowledges that many people are after him. And David does nothing but sit there and pray. And somehow through the prayer, David stopped talking about the problem and starts talking to God. I'm in the Bible. I ain't left the Bible yet. I got people coming against me. I got stuff coming at me. But check down in verse number 3. But, y'all missed your shout right there. But you, oh God, are my shield. Y'all missing your shout. Y'all missing your shout. You missing your shout. I prayed, and the enemy didn't stop coming after me, but somehow while I prayed, I remember what I got going for me. But you, oh God. Lord, have mercy. Let me try it like this. Let me to make you happy. Let me try to read it all over again. Lord, how will they increase that trouble me? Many are they that come rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Now, at the end of that verse number 2, you'll see a word, S-E-L-A-H, Selah. Selah is a word that means hesitation or pause. That means at some point in this song, as it was given in the worship, that when you see Selah, you ought to pause and meditate on something. That something was said that ought to make you ponder what was said. It means you give yourself a little break as you are doing it, as you are praying. In the middle of the prayer, where he's talking about his problems, the Holy Ghost shows up in David's prayer and says, Selah. Pause and think about who got you here. Pause and think about when you slayed Goliath. Stop and think about when God saved you from Saul. Take a moment here and think about if he did it before, he'll do it again. And so David says in the midst of this prayer, yeah, I got that going on, but you, oh God. Lord, I wish somebody would thank God this morning for your butt. Can you take a moment and thank God for your butt? Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but weeping may endure for a night, but y'all ain't feeling me. You ought to thank God this morning for the butt in your life, because a butt symbolizes something about the change. Whatever happened before will not happen now because of the butt. Y'all missed it. I'm catching hell, but I'm sick as a dog, but I'm in financial crisis, but I see the problem, but I can't stop seeing God. But you, oh God, are my shield. I got daggers coming at me, but you told me no weapon formed against me will be able to prosper. I wish y'all would thank God for your butt. And every one of your prayers, when you pray about your situation, it ought to transition you to a butt God. But you, oh God, I got some problems that I can't handle, but I know you can. Whatever it is I need you to be, you will be there. For Moses, you are I am. For David, you are the shepherd. But in this psalm right here, you are the shield to protect me from every dagger, every evil word, every plot, every plan, every setup, every issue, everything they got to say. God is your shield. God is the antithesis of whatever it is you got going on. That means the opposite. God is what you need to help you win against that. Y'all missed it. That's why Big Mom and them say he's a mind fixer. Because they've been confused before. He's a heart regulator. He's a doctor in a sick room. He's a lawyer in a courtroom. He's whatever you need him to be based on the situation. Because I know who my God is in my life. And somehow in the middle of that, when I start thinking about how great God is, when I start thinking about how awesome God is, I know I'm weak. I know I'm broken. I know I'm disgusted. I know I'm depressed. I know I'm down. But God shall deliver me because he's done it before. But you, oh God, are a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter of my head. Watch this now. David is on the run. And David is saying this while on the run. He's not in the palace. He's not in Jerusalem. He's on the run saying, Lord, you're the lifter of my head. It would be easy for me to lift my head sitting on the throne. Because that's where David belongs. That's where he should be. Watch this. I want to bless somebody real quick. David is not right now on his throne. It's his rightful place. It's where God placed him. But because of life circumstances, he is not on the throne right now. But just because David ain't on the throne don't mean God ain't on his throne. That he's still on the throne. He still got power. He still got dominion. He is still sovereign. He is still presiding over my situation. Somebody take a moment and thank God he's still on his throne. All glory. Glory. He's still on his throne. Therefore, I can still lift up my eyes unto the eagles. Where does my help come from? My help cometh from the Lord. Because I know where my God is. Nothing can take God from his throne. Nothing can remove God from his throne. No vote on Tuesday. No law they pass. No mess they come up with. No bullet they shoot at you. No ugly word they throw at you can take God from his throne and me from his presence. But you, oh God, are a shield for me. Oh, Lord, have mercy. I done messed around and got happy in church. You are my glory and the lifter of my head. Because who am I talking to this morning? Who these last few months of 2020, you trying your best to keep your head up. Lord have mercy, I wish I had somebody praying with me. Stuff done happen in your life, just keep knocking you down. Every time you turn around, it's something else. You get this done, here comes something else. You get that right, here comes somebody else. You forgive them, now I gotta forgive that one. I get right with this, that one start acting crazy. I get this child in school, that one leave school. I get my husband to come home, now he won't leave. Now he won't go to work. Now I got all the, every time I turn around, if you ain't careful, life has a way of making you have your head down. That's a design of the enemy. It's a design of the enemy. I wish I had time to really teach you all this about this principle. But the beauty of it is that even in Jerusalem, the Ark of the Covenant was not there. The Ark of the Covenant was left on the mountain. Missed it. The Ark of the Covenant at this time symbolizes the presence of God. And God somehow, through circumstances, David left the Ark of the Covenant on the mountain. Therefore, it's not in Jerusalem. So now David don't have to worry about the palace. All he got to do is lift up his head because the presence of God is still up ahead. And you'll be amazed at what you'll see if you just start looking up. You'll start seeing what you got working for you if you look up. You'll see life ain't so bad if you look up. You'll see you got people who really love you if you just look up. You'll see you can do better if you look up. And the more I look up, the less crooked I become. God comes to lift up your head, to lift you up. He is the lifter of my head. Because let's be honest, if I could lift my own head, I'd have been done it. So part of prayer is, Lord, help me to see you in this situation. Even when I don't see the success, even when I don't see the breakthrough, even when I can't feel the healing, Lord, let me see you. And I ask you now, Lord, lift up my head. And do y'all see? Do y'all see that in this prayer, in verses 3 and 4, that David changes the tune in the midst of the prayer? They start talking about the problem, and they start talking to the answer. Lord, have mercy. He stopped talking about the problem and just said, you know what, forget all that. Let me just talk to God. I know who you are to me. I know what you've done for me. I know how good you are already, and I trust you now to bring me out of it. Don't count me out. Don't count me out. Because I know how to affirm myself through prayer. Before I complain, I'm going to pray. Before I get on Facebook, I'm going to pray. Before I pick up that bottle, I'm going to pray. Before I pick up that needle, I'm going to pray. Before I go back to them, I'm going to pray. Lord, keep me day by day in a pure and perfect way. In Psalm 121, he testifies, the Lord is the keeper of my soul. He'll keep you in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. What does Paul tell us? He says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And what? The peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall be able to keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. And I want to talk to five people. I'll be number six who learned how to have peace in the middle of the storm. Everything ought to be fixed. I still got peace. Glory. 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 Thank you, Lord, for your peace. Glory. Glory. I don't have the answers, but I got peace. I don't feel no better, but I got peace about it. I don't know how he gonna do it, but I know he is. I got peace like a river. Oh, glory. Glory to God. Peace. I used to pull out my hair, now I got peace. I used to get them back, now I say, God bless you. They told me go to hell, I say, I ain't going today. Because I got too much peace. Lord, have mercy. Because I prayed about it. And when you really pray and pray right, your soul get happy. Your situation don't change, but your soul get happy. They still liars. I just start looking at God. I ain't looking at them. I'm still hurting. I don't feel that. I feel his presence. Lord, have mercy. Because I affirm myself, and I start saying, I am a child of God. I am the righteousness of God. I'm the lender, not the borrower. I'm the head and not the tail. I am bought with a price. I am redeemed. I ain't got to live like this. I ain't got to fall for that. I ain't got to go through that. I got God. I got evicted. That's all right. He got a place prepared for me. Lord, have mercy. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Selah. Pause about that. Pause now and reflect on what you know about God. David pauses when he looks at his situation, and as he pauses, he says, wait a minute, I've been here before. This ain't the first time I've been on the run from somebody. Y'all missed it. When you just stop and just think about some of the stuff you've been through, some of the stuff God brought you out of, some of the hills, some of the mountains and the valleys he lifted you from, You mean to tell me God can't get you out of this now? You mean to tell me he won't bring you through this? You mean to tell me he can't do it now? But the enemy wants to make it look more intense, like it's something you've never seen before. And you think God needs to do something new to get you out of this. Oh, but God don't have to do anything new. All he got to do is just be God. Lord, have mercy. Watch this. Watch this. You know the blessing? The blessing of the story, those three Hebrew boys, was not that they were kept through the fire. That's a shout. They were kept in the fire. The blessing is not in that the enemies got burned up. That's just casualty damage, collateral damage from messing with God's children. That's worthy of a shout, but ain't the big shout. The big shout is when the king saw in that furnace, he saw four men loosed, walking around in. And the shout of your life is the fact that even though the fire don't stop, you got a God who will get in there with you. Ooh, Lord have mercy. Aren't you thankful for a God who will get in the battle with you, that you ain't got to go through it by yourself? As long as I see Jesus with me, I know I'm going to make it all right. No wonder David says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because thou art with me. And you got a God who's in the problem with you. Because sometimes he ain't going to stop the fire. Sometimes you just go see his face while in the fire. So you'll learn the principle of his presence with you at all times. But anybody can shout out God's presence when things are going well. But what about appreciating God's presence while you're going catching hell? Let me quit. I'm out of time. I ain't out of message. I'm just out of time, but I got a lot to preach to you, but I'm out of time. Watch this. He affirms himself through prayer. Pray so well that look what he says here in verse number 5. I laid me down and slept. Wait a minute. I thought David was on the run. I thought David was on the run, not just from his son, but from a whole lot of folks trying to kill him. And David done prayed, and prayed to the point, and talked to God about it, that David had the chitlins and the giblets and the gall to go to sleep. Y'all missing something here. We got a misfire somewhere in this house. Because the Bible, David just told you, the Word of God just says that come on the run. And the best solution after you prayed about your situation is to go to sleep. Going to sleep while on the run does not make sense. Because you ought to be so nervous and so fearful that whatever's trying to get you, go catch up with you. And you ought not have time to rest. But since you know that he is your shield, you might well go to sleep, because whatever they want to do to you can't happen to you no way, because you know who God is in your life. People want you to be paranoid and want you to be pulling your hair out. I ain't worried about them. I ain't worried about that. I'm going to bed. He told me in Psalm 121 again, he'll neither slumber nor sleep. So if I don't let him fight my battle, he don't need my help. Y'all missed it. David says, I lay down and slept. On the run. catching hell. What you going to do about it? Pray and go to bed. I walk the floors all night long. I done wore a good pair of heels. I done put a divot in my floor because I just had to worry. I worried about it all night long. I ain't slept a wink. What's wrong? And we take glory, and I ain't slept worth nothing. What's the matter, baby? I just can't see something going on. I just can't sleep. I just can't rest. Something going on. I can't sleep. I don't know what it is, baby. I just up worrying. I just wish it don't get better. And I'm up worrying about it. David says, I want to sleep. Jesus, while the storm was going on, in the back part of the ship, sleep. Peter, in prison, sleep. Guess why? Because they had promises that helped them have peace. Jesus said the storm ain't going to kill me because I got to go to Calvary. Peter was promised in St. John 21, you're going to die of old age. So you know I'm young and I'm in prison, I can't die because he already told me I'm going to die of old age. You got to hold on to the promises that God gave you and know that this too shall pass. Because until your purpose is fulfilled, you ain't going nowhere. Don't count me out. I'm starting to get my bearings now. I'm starting to figure this stuff out. The devil shouldn't have let me wake up this morning. If he really wanted me out of here, he should have let me get in the house of God. He should have let me log on to Facebook. He should have let me get to this Bible. He should have let me pray. He done messed up now. I'm starting to get my bearings. I'm starting to feel better. I'm starting to get my strength back. I'm starting to get my joy back. I'm starting to get my peace back. Here I come again. Don't count me out. Because I can admit my predicament. I can affirm myself through prayer. But also, I can do one more thing. I can anticipate that I'll prevail. I went to bed, and he kept me while I was sleeping. I ain't left the Bible. I laid me down and slept. I awake, for the Lord sustained me. See, somebody should have been shouting up there. Because you don't know what you missed while you slept last night. You don't know what came your way. And you see, that's how I know we ain't got it yet. Because you ought to shout just when you wake up in the morning. Woo! He blessed me again. Woo! He gave me another day. Woo! He saved me. I went down. I ain't didn't lay down. I slept. And then I awake. I didn't die in my sleep. David didn't just say I laid down. He said I laid down and slept. And while I slept so good, I had to wake up. So when I woke up and I saw I still got life, y'all missed it. Wait a minute. I'm on the run. I'm nervous about it. I'm in a predicament, but I prayed, got peace, and went to sleep. I woke up, checked my hands. I'm still good. Checked my feet. I'm still good. In my right mind, I got another day. God done gave me 24 fresh hours to do something new in my life, to perform this miracle, to deliver me. I'm not going to bring any of the stuff from yesterday because today's a brand new day that the Lord let me see. And instead of complaining about yesterday and last month, I'm anticipating that God, this is the day God going to bring me out. This is the day I'm going to feel his presence. This is the day my enemies are going to behave. Look at it. I will not be afraid of 10,000 of people that have set themselves against me round about. That's a different little tone than we saw in verse number one, ain't it? Verse number one, Lord, they all after me. Now I will not be afraid. You ain't raised no punk. You ain't raised no little weak Christian. You call me to be a king. You call me to be anointed. They ain't gonna run me off. God, take me where you want me to be. I'm coming out of this thing. goes back to that heel. That goes back to that wrestling match. Because now you let him, you try to put him in a sleeper hold. Y'all seen old sleeper hold? I just love Ric Flair being them nature boy. Woo! Being that sleeper hold. And somebody like Hulk Hogan or somebody have him in a sleeper hold. And Ric Flair was just great at it. The referee would come check him because he just looked like he almost out. Lift that arm. One. The crowd out there shouting for him. Come on, Rick. Come on, Rick. Come on, Rick. Right now you got angels. Come on, Ham. Come on, son. Come on, you can do it. Here he comes again. Two. One more. That head come down limp again. The thing is over with. But Rick Flair just know how to sell that thing. And the referee take that arm, and Rick gets right before he gets to the end of it. And Rick start coming up. Rick start getting his power. Rick start getting his purpose. He start getting his bearing. He breaks that hole. He wins the match, and he wins the belt because he got another chance. Look at it. Arise, O God, and save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all my enemies upon the cheek. Now hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Now you got folk barking with no bite. All they're doing is making noise. Because the Lord done shut their mouth. No, I wish somebody would shout out that one right there. The Lord done shut them up. That whatever they want to do to you, they can't. All they can do is talk. Because God done took the bite out of them. He done took the destruction out of them. He shut them down. He has weakened them. He has delivered them. He has minimized them. Because God shut them up. And you got to stop letting flapping gums scare you. Stop being intimidated by flapping gums. Because they couldn't bite you if they tried. Because most folk that you're afraid of and dealing with, they bark is bigger than they bite. Ain't going to bust a grape in a fruit fight. Just be talking. Let me get out of here. Salvation belongs unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Selah. You will prevail. You start anticipating and getting ready to come out. You start getting excited about what God's going to do in your life. Now, if you look at verse 2, you'll see the term help. Look at the first word in verse number 8. You'll see the word salvation. Look at the word verse number 2. You'll see the term help. In verse number 8, you'll see the first word says salvation. The Hebrew etymology of those words, the actual Egyptian Hebrew word for help is Yeshua. Yeshua means salvation, deliverance, assistance, aid, help, care. I'm going to try one more time. The word help and the word salvation are derived from the same word in Hebrew, Yeshua. Two more names come from that term, Yeshua, Joshua, and Jesus. The word help and the word salvation are the Hebrew word Yeshua. Yeshua means salvation, deliverance, aid, victory, deliverance, success, prevailing. And from that term Yeshua, where we get the name Joshua, who led the children of Israel across to the promised land. We also see from the name Yeshua, where we get the name Jesus, who died on the cross for all of our sins, rose on the third day morning with all power in his hand. Now, Yeshua and Joshua, Jesus had to come from somewhere. David couldn't die here. He's got to get back to his throne because 42 generations later, we got to see Jesus. Down the road, we got to see Jesus. So this can't shut David up. This can't kill David because he got to get back to his rightful place. And we got to see Jesus in the midst of it. And you'll know the reason why you can't count yourself out and let people count you out. All I said, all that to say this. When the Lord is on your side, when the Lord is your God, and Jesus is the prize. He's already helped you be a fixed fight. In wrestling again, you got something called a handicap match. And a handicap match is 2-on-1. So much so that the two already have an advantage because they got come in with the odds in their favor. Just because you're fighting right now and you can't beat the heel, you can't beat the enemy, don't mean you're going to lose the match. What you need to do is work up enough nerve, work up enough strength, get enough courage to get to the corner and tag your partner in. And let your partner come in because he's fresh, he's stronger, he ain't been in what you've been in, he's already conquered it, he's got power over it, he's got purpose over it, and you'll win the match. Don't count me out. Thank God for his word. Don't count me out. You got more living to do. Stop letting your issues of life cause you to think that you're going to miss out on something. God promises you some stuff. God assures you victory. He assures you a win. He assures that you will prevail. God's word is for you today is, don't count me out. Give God praise for his word on this morning. Glory to God. Come on. If you're ready to receive God's word today, give him glory. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory. Second Samuel 18, unfortunately, Absalom had to die. Because even as his son, you can't mess with God's anointed. David has to mourn a son who turned on him, but still had to go back to his throne and be the king. Your life is not called to be easy. And just because your life is not easy does not mean your life is not blessed. That's one of the tough life lessons I had to learn. Just because your life is not easy does not mean you don't have a blessed life. And unfortunately, in this season we're in, you got to lose some stuff and some people to know more about who you are. Only God can add by subtracting, multiply by dividing. Only a God can do that. And God, in this place, heard a preacher say this the other day, that rocket ships, as they go into the next level, the higher they go, the more they got to lose some parts. That they leave the atmosphere, they can take some stuff. But they're going to go beyond the clouds to a stratosphere, they got to lose even more stuff. So what you see right there at NASA is not what you're going to see in space. And all those parts serve their purpose to get you to a certain level. When they've met that level, they got to fall off. But don't think that the whole mission had to be aborted because you lost some parts. Those parts were necessary for you to lose, for you to go to where you need to go. I offer Jesus.